Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Welcome back to Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch. Vertical farming could revolutionize agriculture. This year, an indoor vertical farm for strawberries opens in Virginia. It uses 30-foot tall towers to grow plants on less than an acre of land. It's expected to produce 4 million pounds of Driscoll's berries a year. To learn more about vertical farming, I'm joined by Haitao Lee, professor and chair of supply chain and analytics at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Thank you so much for being with me.
My pleasure, Megan.
Vertical farming. What is it? How does it work?
Vertical farming is a non-traditional growing methodology does not rely on the traditional way of growing methods, relying on soil, land, especially vast land and lots of water irrigation. It can grow different crops indoor. So it's also called indoor farming. Although there are subtle differences between these terminologies.
Is this what we used to think of as hydroponics, or is it different?
Hydroponics is one growing method that belongs to vertical farming. There are other different technologies that's already vastly available nowadays. The main differences between traditional growing methods is, again, the less use of land, less use of water. But on the other hand, often vertical farming going to require lots of energy. And which is very different from the traditional growing methods.
So what I would assume that energy would be from probably pumps, lights, things like that?
Electricity, lights especially, exactly. And technologies are now available that by controlling different type of lights and intensity and frequency, we are able to control the nutrition ingredients compositions. So we do have lots of advancement on the technology side.
Now, does this reduce risks of pollution?
Exactly. There has been study showing indoor farming or vertical farming relies a lot less on the use of fertilizer, which implies that most of the foods grown by vertical farming will have a higher safety level, although there is still a difference between vertically grown agricultural products and green products. So not all products grown in vertical farm can be designated as green products yet.
How many years have these facilities been in existence across the United States?
I know there are some leaders in this area worldwide. For example, countries like Netherlands, several particular regions in Spain, and some countries in Asia, including Japan and Singapore, are all leaders in vertical farming. United States, relatively speaking, is lagged a little bit behind. So in the U.S., as far as I know, vertical farming has been implemented more on the West Coast, but it's certainly catching up speed and gaining lots of visibility recently in some other regions.
Are we seeing any of this in the Midwest, specifically Missouri?
Yes, absolutely. There has been a significant interest and efforts to promote St. Louis or Midwest as the center of indoor farming. So at AMSO, we have been working with several organizations to position St. Louis as the center of excellence of vertical farming. So that has been an initiative for several years. This is for a very good reason. Certainly, agriculture is one of the main industries in the state of Missouri, and we are also located at the heartland, which means we have a our intrinsic advantage in logistics and transportation. So, in the roughly 500 miles radius from St. Louis, these food products can be reached out to over 60% of the population of the U.S. So this is why St. Louis and Midwest is it really makes sense for us to address this opportunity.
Obviously, you are an expert in supply chains. So when we look at a crop that can be condensed into, in some cases, less than an acre of land grown in towers, how does that help with demands on the supply chain?
Excellent question. It is well known vertical farming has lots of advantages. For example, high yield, year-round availability, and high quality food in terms of nutrition and less reliance on pesticide. So you can perceive several immediate advantages. For example, if we implement vertical farming or indoor farming in the urban setting, right? Presumably, it can cut down the distance for transportation, and that will potentially leads to way less food waste and loss, and maintain high quality food. So these are all significant advantages of vertical farming.
Are there any concerns that you have about vertical farming?
Absolutely. So from my perspective, through some of my prior studies with my colleagues, we find out now the main barrier, right, main challenge for the vertical farming industry to scale and grow is not about technology. Okay, again, there are lots of technological advancement on the plant science side, for example, increase the yield to, maintain a variety, maintain high food quality. So the technology are already there. The main challenge, as I understand, can be on the economic side, right? Because, in order for a vertical farm to grow and scale, typically companies needs lots of investment in terms of, either the space, facility, or equipment, right? And it's very energy consuming, as we mentioned earlier. So all these can be substantial. And certainly, I do want to mention supply chain, right? And think about where the food gonna go, right? Yeah. So what the market is, the demand, as well as price, the seasonality factor, the demand seasonality, all these ought to be factored in.
Hytel Lee, professor and chair in supply chain and analytics at the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure, Megan.